Welcome to the Round 20 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name is Marcus, and this week we're joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate.
And this week we've got special guest with us, Kefa. He was on with us earlier on in the season, and he's still crushing it in Real Dream Team. Kefa, welcome back, mate.
G'day, Marcus. G'day, Mark. Thanks for having me back on. Looking forward to chatting with you guys tonight.
When we last spoke to you, Kefa, you were hoping that this year would be your first year in the top 1,000, so hoping that when we get to the score updates that you'll have some good news there. Mark, why don't you kick us off at the weekly score update this week?
Let's just start off with Dunny, because he's going to want a mention on tonight's show. He scored 27.41 on the weekend.
Boom!
I think that was 31st for the week. He has now jumped up to top 1,500, I think, 13.27 overall. So he might actually chase me down from there. But yeah, definitely shout out to Dunny, because that's massive. Myself, I scored 25.56. Bit average, I guess, but jumped up a little bit in the rankings, jumped up to 380th, which is sort of, it's nice to be in the top 500 for 3 weeks in a row. Hopefully I can stay in there. Nothing really massive to talk about. I guess my midfield was pretty good this week. Dangerfield, JPK, Rockliffe, Salwood still marching ahead. Forward line was all right too with Tommy Mitchell. Yeah, look, it was good to have a fully premium team back this week, and hopefully I'm just holding on to that last trade.
Kefa, how'd you go this week, mate?
Not as good as Dunny, that's for sure. Well, not as good as Mark either, but 2,506. So it's nice to break that 2,500 barrier. Actually lost me 19 spots down to 729. So
I did beat someone this week. Yeah. That's not too bad.
Woo! Yeah, so 729 on track to my pre-season aim was to finish in the top 1,000. And well on track for that. The squad's in pretty good shape. I've got a floating premium. And I've got a trade up my sleeve, and I don't have Parker or anyone like that to deal with. So, you know, maybe I'll even give the top 500 a shake.
Fortunately for me, I got a bit of good luck again this week. 26-26. So that gave me the top score out of the three of us this week, which I'm pretty happy about. And that moved me up to 2,237th. So that I'm most happy about, to be honest, because I was pretty angry with Supercoach a few weeks ago, as you remember, Mark. In the last 6 weeks, my team has hit 2,450 five times. And 2,600 three times.
Wow.
So it's going great guns at the moment. And like I said, for the last couple of weeks, the deep bench seems to be working, and players that I was worried about earlier on in the season, like Wallace and Dalhouse, actually continue to pump out 130s, which is completely surprising. But
easy game when the doggies win by 100 points, mate.
So I've gone up 5,000 ranks in 5 weeks and couldn't be more happy. And hopefully I can crack the top 2,000 and stay in there. Top 1,000 would be crazy and awesome, but I just want to continue moving upwards. So everybody keep your fingers crossed for me. Two trades, 150K still. That's looking all right. We'll move on to
two trades. That's massive.
Yeah, but I got Jack Zabel out this week, so maybe it's time for him to go after another 68. So we got the league update now and more great news. We broke a record earlier on this year when we had 10 in the top 20, but we've pipped ourselves because, wait for it, 11 in the top 20 this week. Absolutely massive. Supercoach CC and Supercoach BB are into 19th and 20th, and they're completely randomly filled leagues, and I really don't think I've seen that this late in the season in a while, considering there's some very, very good leagues of coaches out there in elite communities. It is absolutely massive for two completely randomly filled teams to be in the top 20 at round 20. So huge shout out to any of the 36 that are in those two leagues, and also to Supercoach number one and Supercoach number two, who are both holding first and second respectively. And they're our top ranked leagues, public leagues, to start the year. So our elites are actually at 5th and 10th, both dropped two spots this week. But Supercoach coach number two actually moved up two spots to second. Supercoach coach Queens moved up two spots as well to be third. So we now have first, second, and third as well. So we don't want to get too excited, but you know, 3 weeks to go, the signs are good. So let's hope that everybody can keep things going for another 3 weeks.
Huge effort.
So to the group update now, and this week the top score for the week wasn't actually Dunny. It was Shumi 2K15 with 2782.
Wow.
So he eclipsed Dunny, which is crazy, and that gave him the 7th highest score for the week. So if he hit the top 5, he would have got a little bit of cash from the Herald Sun, so he just missed out, but you know, huge score nonetheless. Well done to you, mate. He's at 1254th with that score now, so moved in heaps. To our top 100, Travesty, he scored 2432 to be at 6th, so still hovering, still a chance.
With a damn week.
But everybody's so close there that you'd think with 3 weeks to go, he's still right in it. Cometti's Legion held exactly at 50th this week with 2553. And a bit of sad news, Nate Snags, who we've been tracking all season and who was in the Supercoach Cup last week, sadly got eliminated with a 2414, and he's dropped to 95th, but still hanging on to top 100, so keep our fingers crossed for you there, mate.
I'd be pretty happy to have dropped to 96 just quietly.
I mean, he's been deep in the top 100 all season, so 96 is probably not looking great on his computer screen at the moment. But he's been really battling in the last week or two because he's in some big prelims this week in some cash leagues and didn't want to use his last trade last week to get rid of Nick Nat and avoid a donut because he wanted to be able to fight through the prelims in the grand final. So, yeah, had to probably sacrifice his ranking a little bit and even the SC Cup just because it was probably a little bit more chance of winning the cash leagues that he's in at the moment. So, yeah, a bit of a tricky situation where you have competing goals.
A bit unfortunate, but, you know, top 100 be fantastic, like you said, Kefa. And well done for your season anyway, Nate. Don't forget to everybody out there, you can still ask us questions on a Tuesday at Supercoach Coach on Twitter and on Facebook.com/Supercoach Coach. We'll start off this week with Pat's question from Facebook. Have you guys used all your trades left? So let's start with a trade count.
Mark? We've got four trades between us, mate, I think.
one and two, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, I've got one.
That's just pure luck, really. I think I've been riding one for a couple of weeks now.
I'll be down to one after this week, so we'll all have one.
We've all got an extra premium on the bench, though, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, I've got a couple, actually.
Yeah, look at you.
You greedy boy.
My team value's up to 14.1 million when I add my salary, which I think that's a PB for me.
Pity the players on the field are a bit shit, but you enjoy it.
Thanks, mate.
It's interesting, though, even though that's your PB, that hasn't translated to your PB in terms of overall rank. So it's interesting, isn't it?
Absolutely. Every year I say I'll stop trading for the bench, but I seem to go harder and harder. So I need to snap out of it and just go for the rank. Anyway, we'll move on to Cam Locke's question here now from Twitter. Thank you for your question. He's asking for the best midfield replacement for Parker this week under 600K. So that's obviously the big news. Fingers crossed for Sydney supporters. He can still get back for the finals, but he's at least out for the rest of the home and away season.
I think if you don't have him, I'd probably be looking at Rockliffe for 20,000 more. He seems like someone that maybe people don't have in their teams.
I'm just looking at it right now. If you arrange the players according to their price, you've got about five players squeezed in between 541 down to 535. It's Montagna, Rockliffe, Hanbury, Lewis and Kennedy, Josh Kennedy of Sydney. I don't think you go wrong with any of those. I'd concur with Mark. I think Rockliffe's probably the pick of the bunch. And then Joey Montagna, Hanbury, Kennedy, Lewis, they can all play. Have a look at their draw and make your own decision, but I don't think you can go wrong with any of those.
Got a question here from Blair Dewsbury or Rick James 7 on Twitter. Is McVay potentially a good option, considering now that Parker's out, he'll get more midfield time?
I think Dead Sets mentioned McVay as his last trade or one of the last players he was going to bring in.
He did. I think there's better options. I think his best foot is behind him. I think he's a solid option, but I don't know that he's quite in the Tom Rockliffe category, and I'd be going Rockliffe for sure.
Or even Sloan's only 8,000 more than McVay.
Yeah.
I know that you sort of talked him down a couple of weeks, Marcus, but he's just gone nuts the last couple of weeks, Sloan.
I was tentative on him, but once he's shown a turn of form, I think we've seen he can average 110. I'm not going to keep denying what he can do. So, yeah, no, absolutely a great option now. Joel Brown to ask about Luke Shuey. Is there any chance of you guys getting on him if you had Luke Parker?
Not personally, mate. I think that they probably share the points around a fair bit in that Eagles midfield.
He's averaging only 96. I want someone averaging at least 10 points per game higher than that.
Okay, it's finals though, so pretend I'm in some crazy scenario where I need to throw out something different. Is there any POD that we can go to this week that maybe isn't a standard player?
Sloan's maybe not a standard player at the moment because he got injured so many times, and they play Brisbane on Saturday night, so should be a points fest for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's guys like Del Santo and Sidebottom who are even cheaper again. There are other guys you could consider. Looking at Shuey, his recent record's very good. His pre-round average is 120, so he's certainly doing something right at the moment, but it's whether you think he can keep that up or revert back to that sort of 96 average that he's been giving you all season. You might want to roll the dice on him, but I can't make a strong case for it.
back to McVay before, if I was going to go for a pod out of the Sydney midfield because of the increased midfield time, it'd probably be Kieran Jack. He can sometimes go on a tear. Sydney have a good run on the way home. They play GWS this week, so that could be an option.
He did go on a pretty good run earlier in the year, but I think I had him last year, maybe even the year before as well for a bit, and he was very disappointing, just posting really close to 80 sort of scores. Bit of a letdown. But yeah, your hands are a little bit tired if you are going cheaper than Parker. There's not a whole lot of great options down there.
They do at least have GWS, St Kilda, and then Gold Coast. When they score big, the whole team tends to score big. So I think his bottom end, you'd think in those games, would at least be even 95, 100s without a Parker type in the team. Like you said, he could be disappointed. He might not actually get on the end of it because there's all the other ball winners there that seem to bob up for more points each game.
Yeah, I think Tom Mitchell as well. You might already have him, but if you don't, 3-round average of 118, ouch, only 472,000. And really, if anyone's going to benefit from no Luke Parker in the team, I would have thought Tom Mitchell would be, you know.
Tommy!
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. He'd be the direct beneficiary of that.
Yep.
You raised very good points, Kevin.
472,000 too.
Yeah, that's pretty juicy. With a 3-round average of 118, I'd certainly be looking at him over Shuey. I just think he's a more solid pick.
I mean, I'd consider taking him in for Jack Zeeble, maybe even. That's very tempting. No?
Don't do it.
You take Sloan.
I don't want you to have Tom Mitchell. You don't deserve it, mate, after all the shit you've given him this year.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the next question here from Paul Maltman. Thanks for talking me out of culling KK. He's got 109 last week, so you're welcome, Paul. Nice. Glad that worked out. He got rid of Nick Nat and Buddy instead, which I think was good because they're both out. Last trade, he has Parker and Treloar, though, unfortunately. Treloar, I think, is going to miss this week nursing his groin, but he isn't ruled out for the season, whereas Parker is out for the season. Paul's actually leaning toward getting rid of Treloar potentially because he has more currency. I'm guessing that's probably a bit of a short-sighted decision. I'd go with trading Parker out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the diagnosis on Treloar. I mean, if he was going to miss a couple more weeks, then that might make sense. So like, even if he was just going to play one more game, I think you'd have to get rid of the Parker because you might need that cover later on.
Treloar's not even on the injury list, can I just say? I'm just looking at it here on the AFL website. Greater Western Sydney, updated Tuesday, August 18. Treloar's not on there.
He has missed this week already. So if he misses, you know, the next one, that's already 2 weeks off. You'd think hopefully that's enough for a rest. Next question's from Lorenzo. Is it worth getting Fife back in for the last two rounds? So I think Lorenzo's been storing trades for the final series because he has four trades left. Should he trade out Saad or Brody Smith?
I'd get him back in, Lorenzo. I'm pretty sure that Fife would feel that he needs at least one more best on ground to win the Brownlow medal, just to make it a certainty. And Brownlow medal aside, he's just such a jet. And, you know, Ross wants him up and about for the final. So I'm pretty sure we're going to see a monster score in the next 3 weeks out of Fifey, or more than one. So if you've got four trades up your sleeve, I'd be bringing him in. Now, whether you trade Saad or Brody Smith, I'd get rid of Saad. I think Saad's done his job for the year. You brought him in to do a role. He's filled that role. Brody Smith's, I think, got a higher ceiling and more to prove. Crows are busting their guts to make the finals. I think he's put at least one or two good scores together in the last couple of weeks. Saad, I think, will probably tire as the year goes on if he hasn't already. So I'd make Fife your priority and I'd get rid of Saad.
Yeah, interesting, mate. I think I'd feel more comfortable with Saad on my field, but I'd also feel that he's more likely to get injured and miss weeks or game time or something because he has shown to be a little bit fragile this year. It's hard to get a read on Brody Smith from the Essendon versus Adelaide game because when he did get the ball, he actually looked awesome and was hitting his targets, but the ball just wasn't really in his area very much.
We'll move to the next question here from Graham Bennett. Please discuss the best defender options up to 540K. So pretty high ceiling there. Who do you guys like in the back line? Hodge is 565. That rules him out. Shaw 611. That rules him out. Pickin is the other standout that we talk about. He's under that mark at 513. Does that make him the standout?
I'm a little bit concerned of Pickin. And now I'm worried that I'm talking him down again, but they haven't managed to rest most of their players, the Bulldogs, so I wonder whether Pickin gets one before the finals as well, just to freshen him up a little bit. If you have to go below Pickin, though, there's no real standout. You're just ending up in the huge clump of players that are all performing reasonably well. I know Enright and Hawley look pretty decent picks under 500,000.
Rance is actually, looking at his average here, surprising me, in the last 8 games, he's only had 2 scores under 99. That's 81 and 68. So that's actually surprisingly consistent for a key defender. I didn't realize that he was going that well. So I'd probably like him apart from Pickett. But other than that, I agree with you, Mark. It does seem to drop off fairly significantly.
Yeah, I think Pickett or Rance, and I think Rance will be all Australian. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Had a fantastic year. I still prefer a defender who doesn't play key defense like Rance does, although if you look at their numbers, what are they averaging? Pickens averaging 100, Rance 96, so there's not a lot in it. Rance is a little bit cheaper, so yeah, you'd be tossing up those two. I think they're the two standouts.
Yeah, Rance doesn't play like any normal key defender. Some of the work that he's done over the last couple of months has been crazy. He intercepts the ball a lot, and he'll run the ball out of the 50 as a result. And yeah, super, super impressive.
He's my favorite key defender in the game. Love his offensive work. So agree with you, Mark. But I've got Pickens, so I'm going to back in the midfielder despite the resting concerns. The 97 and 91 in the 2 weeks that he's been in my team haven't been welcome. Hopefully he bounces back into the big hundreds. We'll move on to the next question here from Dion. If Buddy doesn't play, who should we be bringing in for the same price point? So there's talk that they're still building up his training in the hope that his back won't flare up by the time they get through Thursday or their main training session. So that's not exactly the most promising news, which is not great for me, Mark, in the Franklin v. Mitchell debate. I might even consider trading him out instead of Zeebo if he doesn't manage to get back on the park this week.
Got to say that I would definitely be trading Buddy ahead of Zeebo, mate. Even when he was on the park last time, he didn't look necessarily capable of big score. And I know Zeebo's coming off a 60-odd on the weekend, but before that, he'd had 3 or 4 pretty good scores in the month before that. So I would definitely be heading in that direction personally. What's Buddy priced at the moment? 440. There's really not a lot of players around that price that you'd be happy to be bringing into your team, though.
They do have, you know, GWS, St Kilda, Gold Coast, like we mentioned before, though. And Buddy does beat up on those types of teams.
This is going to sound like a very crazy suggestion, but if Lobby doesn't play this week, I would actually consider bringing in Paddy Ryder. Scored 111. On the weekend and playing as that sole ruck. I think Paddy, when he was at the Bombers, he was always much, much happier when he was playing as a sole ruck.
Just on that 111, it was against the GWS who leak a monster amount of points to opposition ruckmen. And he was, as you say, rucking solo. So I'd want to keep a pretty close eye on that. I've got a feeling that 111 might be an aberration.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you're trolling me or something, Mark.
I'm not. And look, Kevin probably makes much better points than I do. I was probably trolling you a little bit, but
when you've only, Roughhead's only 15,000 more than Franklin.
Yeah, no, and they do have a great run too, Hawthorn. They've got Carlton in the last round. They've got Brisbane next week. And this week they got Port Adelaide. Tommy Hawkins, another key position forward, got a lot of must-win games coming up.
I actually would prefer a former Cat, Alan Christensen, over Hawkins. I think he's really built into the season, built some fitness, and averaging pretty close to 100. He's going to get more like midfield numbers than those other guys, who are going to be a little bit more consistent. So probably prefer him to Hawkins at that price point.
Don't mind that Christensen selection. Once he's built up a bit of fitness, he is a great contested player. Enough for players this week, guys. We've got Michael's question here from Facebook about captain choices. Anybody that you guys are thinking about for a big prelim final week?
It's been hard to go past Goldstein in the last 8 weeks, but
he plays on a Sunday.
As the captain choice, the backup captain choice, but they do have Freo this week.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about Goldstein this week. I don't think that Sanderlands is going to give up a whole lot of points. As good as Goldstein is, I'm sure he'll give a very good account of himself. I just think you need to check your expectations on him this week compared with how he's been going in the last couple of months. I'm not sure if he's going to pull out a 150 against Sanderlands.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think the game just before that, on the Saturday night instead, Adelaide-Brisbane looks like it'll be a fair blowout. And the other game on in that time slot, Geelong-St Kilda, teams would be trying to put away some percentage because it's going to be relevant for them. And I think there'll be some big points up for grabs there. So, you know, Selwood, Dangerfield, Sloan types, they all seem like pretty good captaincy options this week. Even potentially Sammy Jacobs, he's been putting out some big 130s and 140s recently.
He definitely has. I guess then you could try and pick some vice-captain options before that, like maybe one of the Hawks or one of the Tigers.
Or one of the Swans. You could have a Hanbury or a Mitchell or somebody against GWS or a Pendlebury against Richmond or, as Mark said, one of the Hawks. You know, I'd love Goldstein to be playing on a Friday night because I'd love to give him the vice captaincy. I just don't know if I can trust him against Sandilands wearing the captain's armband. But I'm sure Plenty will. He certainly earned that right, hasn't he, over the last couple of months with his form. But I'm just a bit nervous about him against Sandilands.
I think before last week, his five-week average was over 160, which is...
Like, what?
better than we've seen from Ablett.
Like, yeah.
just insanely numbers. So is that sustainable? We have never seen it happen in the past, so maybe not. But yeah, I think maybe like I don't have him, but a Luke Hodge into maybe a Dangerfield this week would probably be a pretty good option.
All right, so I think that wraps up this week, guys. A few more unique options thrown up than we get to do throughout the season, which is a little bit nice as well.
It is good fun, isn't it?
yeah, it is. Now, speaking about coaches, Kev, I'd be probably remiss having two bombers on the show not to just at least mention Hurdy. Just want to give any brief thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, just I think it's a really, really sad day. I think it was probably inevitable. It was probably coming. Taking the football side away for a moment and just looking at it from the human perspective, he's a man, a father, four young kids, a wife, a mum, parents. It's just so sad to see what's happened. I wish the whole bloody mess had never happened, but it did, and we've got to deal with it. I think it was the right decision for the club, to move forward, but I'm just so sorry that it's happened. We'll miss Hurdy, but it hasn't worked out for him, and just a really sad ending.
Probably echo those sentiments. I think that if he was coaching next year, even if the wider appeal was not successful and the players got off or whatever that means, the pressure on Hurd would still probably be there. Whereas a new coach can potentially make a fresh start next year. And I don't think Hurdy would ever be given the room to do that. So, yeah, look, I think that once Wada appealed, the way that we've seen that the players react to that, that was probably, yeah, like you say, inevitable, even though it might be a bit unfortunate.
It's good to see as well that by the time we got through the end of the press conference, there was a little bit more levity in his voice, and just even talking through the process of him leaving and what that would mean seemed to already, you know, alleviate a lot. And yeah, that was very therapeutic. So I'm glad that he can move on. And like you guys have said, it does seem like the right thing to do at the moment. Anyway, thanks for coming on this week, Kefa. It's been great to have you come full circle and hear that you're comfortably sitting in that top 1,000 now and well on your way to maintain and claim that first top 1,000.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's nice to have a satisfactory season. It could have been better, but I've achieved my goal and I can get off to a great start, you know, with the Paddy Cripps business and whatnot, but being able to turn around, and that's what it's all about. So thanks for having me, and thanks to everybody for making the community just so fantastic and so successful this year. It's just an awesome community to be a part of. It really is.
Marcus, I hope you slow down a little bit this week, mate. I'm a bit sick of you catching me.
It's not ages off, mate.
I guess with only 3 weeks to go, I should be right. But yeah, you've definitely caught up a lot in the last month.
Bulldogs are playing West Coast this week, guys. So I think it's coming to a crashing end soon.
Don't forget as well, there's Supercoach Finals. Remember, they have a little competition they roll out for the finals, which is always a bit of good fun as well.
Catch you again next year, Kefa.
Absolutely.
To Mark, hopefully continue to hold that top 500 spot, and we'll catch you all again next week. Thanks for a massive show, guys. See ya.
See ya.
See you later.